What's up, guys? It's the Random Dude Josh. Just want to take you a second here before we get into the interview today, just to kind of give you a little background. So, at the time of the interview, the project Arkham Adolescence that we'll be talking about was scheduled to have their Kickstarter come out on October 31st. Well, much like any other project, and especially in this time of the pandemic and stuff like that, there were setbacks, which is totally fine because at the end of the day, the more time they're taking just allows them to have a much better product. And so while we do talk about the 31st and the Kickstarter coming out at that time, that was pushed back a little bit. But that being said, stay tuned to undercovercapes.com and we'll make sure to get all that information to you when the Kickstarter does go live. But that being said, sit back and enjoy the special interview. Welcome, everyone, to a brand new special with Undercover Capes. I am your host, the Random Dude Josh, and I can't tell you how excited I am for this project that we're going to be talking about today because it's awesome. Like, that is the best way to describe it. So we are here today to talk about a new project coming out called Arkham Adolescence. And joining me today is not only the writer of this original story, but also the director as well. So we have Spencer Vance and Milan. Guys, how are you guys doing today?
Happy to be here.
Awesome.
Great.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. I'm very excited to talk to you guys about this. So tell me a little bit about Arkham Adolescence. What is it about? What do you want people to know about this amazing project?
Yeah, the Arkham Adolescence is an idea that I've had for a number of years now that is finally coming to light, which I'm really, really stoked about. It's a passion project of mine. It really is the origin story of the modern day Joker. And of course, we've had some brilliant performances by some of the best actors in the world. But this is kind of a modern 2020 take on the Joker and his story of his upbringing and really kind of bringing a real life aspect to his character and who he is, because no one really knows who he is. So it's a fun project, and Milan's really kind of helped me write it and bring it to life. So
awesome. So what sort of, is it going to be very dark and gritty, or like what? Obviously can't get into too much. We don't want to spoil a whole lot. But what sort of things can fans expect? I mean, this is a big year for the Joker, with it being the 80th anniversary of the Joker. Absolutely. And so, I mean, it's perfect timing in that respect for this project. So I guess Milan will ask you, what sort of direction do you see this going? Dark and gritty, comical? Yeah,
I would say it'd be fun to have some humor in there, but it'll be dark and gritty, you know, as PG-13 gritty as we can make it, with goals of eventually having it be on streaming services. And so we want to incorporate a lot of generations that could watch it, hit a lot of immigrants. And you know, without giving a ton away, the story is going to follow multiple characters from birth up until adulthood, and how they intertwine with one another, and a lot of real life experiences that we all go through. And we're trying to infuse that within these characters to make them more three-dimensional, while at the same time staying true to the grittiness and the reality of what happens within the world of Gotham.
Okay. Now, how much research have you guys done as far as the Joker's concerned? Because, I mean, like I said, this is the 80th anniversary of the Joker. There's 80 years worth of material. How much are you pulling from that? How much are you making your own? I mean, because at the end of the day, we don't really know the Joker's origin, because he's never really come out and said it. He always has different versions to throw people for a loop.
Yeah. And every time he talks, I feel like in some of the different portrayals, it's a different, he almost forgets his own history, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like he recreates in his mind his own history. As far as research on my part, I grew up in the 90s, so I was already past Jack Nicholson's Joker, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had Michael Keaton as Batman. We had some of those cheesier 90s Batman movies that were awesome as a kid. And that's kind of what I grew up in as far as the era goes. And then, of course, the dark, you know, Batman Begins and The Dark Knight and Heath Ledger's brilliant performance really was kind of a catalyst for me as an actor to want to jump heavier into acting myself. But as far as research goes, we actually, I haven't done a deep dive into some of the super, I guess the super roots of the Joker. I've kind of gone off script a little bit and kind of done an original story here with it, which I think is really exciting because I don't think it's been done before in this way. And I don't want to be influenced too much by some of the other performances because a lot of them I can't touch. I don't want to touch. And there's a lot of that's a big reason why a lot of actors reject those roles, because they're just scared of them. They don't want to touch the brilliance of some of the previous performances before them. But so to answer your question, I think there's some real richness to this story. As far as the Joker and being raised and I don't want to give too much away, but just some of his experiences as a child and in his youth and his teenage years, what really molds him to become kind of this crazy psychopath that he is. I know in some of the other stories, he falls into a vat of poison and, you know, he's, you know, some of these other different things, but we wanted to make something that was more realistic, that something that could actually happen in real day-to-day 2020. So anyway, that's kind of how we molded the character, and it's been a great process kind of since then. But Milan, do you want to touch on that too?
I'm just kind of gonna back you up basically in the same way that I think, because at least for you and I and anybody within the last, you know, 20 years, bottom line, you say the Joker and you think of Heath, and then you look at what Joaquin did with that character, and they gave a little bit more origin to it within their own universe that they built. And so directorially, the biggest thing for me is to not do something that I've already seen. I don't want to shoot or film an angle, let alone a storyline that we're all familiar with. And so the big thing for this is to touch on certain characters and that all stem outward from Joker, and really give it more three-dimensional personality and allow a whole new generation to connect with Joker on a different level than just somebody who's evil or insane for insane's sake, versus actually give it, okay, where did this come from? What are the roots? So we're trying to make our roots, this whole thing grow from a very original seed of an idea of Spencer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from what I've seen from screenshots both on your Facebook page and Instagram as well, which, to be honest, when I first started seeing that pop up on my feed, to be honest, I didn't even know the connection that it was one of Spencer's projects. And I've known Spencer for a number of years now, and then it was that weird moment when I put two and two together and I'm like,
so it was organic. Good.
It really was, yeah. And I'm, to be honest, I'm glad he didn't just come out and say, hey, oh, by the way. So it really got me even more excited about the project. The one thing that really stood out, obviously located in Utah, you guys have found some amazing spots just in the photography I've seen, in the clips that I've seen. I mean, where are you finding these spots within Salt Lake?
Yeah, I think Milan can answer that. He's the one that actually lives in Salt Lake. I live about 30 minutes south of Salt Lake in Pleasant Grove. But Milan is a wizard when it comes to not just directing, but locations and putting the whole production together. So Milan, tell us a little bit about Salt Lake, I guess, because I find it fascinating as well.
Thanks for all that. That's the goal too, is just Salt Lake is so rich and we have such a big film community between Sundance and the Utah Park City Film Studio. And Utah just, and then the colleges also, there's just a lot of film community here, and the city itself as a character, there's different boroughs to it, a different vibe around every single corner. And so I've done a lot of Ubering for the past 2 or 3 years in Salt Lake and then just living down there. So I was always taking shots. I'm like, oh, this would be cool. This would be cool. And then I skate a lot too. And so I can find, and when you're skating versus driving, you find little alleys or little corners that you just, you can kind of piece together this mosaic of a city and make it look completely unfamiliar, even if you're already living there, let alone if you've never even seen any of Salt Lake, just to give people an idea that we're really focusing on building this world that's familiar, but very organic from the city that's given a lot to us for it.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, from what I've seen, again, having actually been to Salt Lake a number of times, I was like, where is that? I'm trying to peep what I know, and I can't. So, you know,
that's awesome. That's cool.
That's the goal. So now the project itself, you guys are doing a Kickstarter, I believe, correct?
Correct.
So what can fans expect as far as, the Kickstarter goes? Obviously, we want to be able to raise funds to fund the project. But what is it about your Kickstarter that's going to really kind of hook people in and say, yes, here, shut up and take my money kind of thing?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a bunch of different merch prizes and items as part of the donation process. But, you know, really, this is a much bigger project that we have in mind. I mean, we are doing a trailer for right now, but what we are going to use those funds for is first episode of our series is what we're looking to do with it. Milan's very connected with some people at the U in the film industry there. So we're going to use those connections to be able to hopefully get into a streaming service, but we want to be able to create a 30 to 40 minute first episode of Arkham Adolescence, taking a deeper dive of who the Joker is, where does he come from, his childhood, his teenage years, really digging into that with, you know, action, explosions, the whole bit. So we're really excited for the trailer and for just the hype behind it. I mean, it's been just amazing to see the support already just from the little tidbits we put out on social media. I mean, it's the people love the Joker. And so we have high expectations that need to be met. That's for sure. But we're setting the bar high for ourselves as far as the quality of the production. And that's really where everything is going, is 100% into the production so that we can make that first episode and then ultimately either get picked up or continue to just create our own series. So that's kind of the overarching goal of the Kickstarter.
Okay. Which in this day and age, I mean, Kickstarter is a wonderful platform to be able to get your product out there, get, you know, and get it into the hands per se of those who would be interested. So I'm in full support of it. Kickstarter is obviously something that I'm very accustomed to on the indie comic side. And a lot of creators use that. So, you know, I'm right there with you in that it is a fantastic platform to use. So Kickstarter comes out October 31st.
Correct.
Running for what, 30-ish days? Uh-huh. What's the goal?
So our minimum revenue goal is $15,000. And okay. That's going to be able to cover all the expenses, to be able to invest in some quality talent when it comes to on-screen talent, actors and actresses. But we have a great film crew. They're not here, obviously, but we have some amazing people behind the camera. And Milan, you can kind of speak on that a little bit, but we just have an amazing crew that we call them Two Take Jakes. They're just out there and, you know, they just get it done. I mean, they just make it look beautiful and cinematic. But Milan, talk to them a little bit about our production, a little bit about we're planning on doing there.
Yeah, bottom line is what we're pulling off with just very minimum people and equipment and, you know, getting McDonald's as our crew dinner afterward. You know, if we can be this, even half this happy and half this joyful doing it with real money, real production, real insurance, actually paying people, putting them up in hotels if we need to, just whatever it takes essentially that quantifies a real production to the point where we can gather the attention from executive producers and other producers that have already been involved in a number of projects that are either on Amazon Prime, a couple on Netflix. So we have a really high standard that we're doing from the ground up. So the approach we're taking is if we can have this professionalism on a shoestring budget / no budget, what can we achieve with some real money and some real support? And even something like, you know, just kicking off the podcast, like with you, production wise. Yeah, that's good energy to bring to the table. And so we're trying to keep that professionalism going, the aesthetics, the mixing, whatever it is. Like we're using every available resource we have.
Yeah, yeah. No, I absolutely agree. Like I said, from what I've seen just in preparing for this, I mean, I'm blown away.
That's crazy. Because when we were shooting just some demo stuff, the original picture Spencer was doing was just off my Pixel, and that was just messing around. And he really went into full makeup for 90 minutes. That part wasn't messing around.
Knowing Spencer as long as I have, when he commits, he's all in.
That's got to be
110%. So
nice.
Now, Spencer, you know, talking about the makeup, I mean, you've taken a very unique approach just to the design of your Joker.
Yeah.
You know, not modeling it off of, say, Heath Ledger or what Joaquin Phoenix has done. What kind of led you in that direction? Obviously, as much as you can say without spoiling anything.
Yeah. I love that piece of it. I love creating the costumes. I love the makeup. I mean, Milan can attest to it. I mean, it just brings that character to life, and it brings a lot of characters to life when it comes to those kind of things. And I'm a very detailed person. So when it comes to the little things, that little subtleties to that character, it makes all the difference. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the makeup, Milan and I were kind of messing with it, trying to see like what would be a good look, what would be different. We wanted to 100% do our own Joker look, 100% our own Joker, which was hard to do because I was so influenced when I was writing this initially by Heath Ledger's Joker. Mm-hmm. Just because I just, for whatever reason, that really inspired me at that age to get into acting and do all that. So for me, I wanted to do something original. And so what I tried to do was model a couple things from this Joker, a couple things from this Joker, this and that, put it together, make my own. And when it comes to the makeup, what I really kind of had in mind was kind of this, because it's an adolescence Joker and a younger Joker, he evolves into something more following this time period, right? It's it's kind of a pre-real, you know, fully grown Joker, right? So we wanted to do something that was more light and just different, right? So I kind of had like a court jester makeup in mind when I was thinking about it, like somebody that was young, somebody that was full of energy, running around, you know, was mischievous, right? Just those different kind of things. And then and then I was on eBay one day and I was looking for some masks, for different masks that we could use for the shoots and for our production and what, you know, what, because we're in 2020, everyone's wearing a mask. How could we incorporate some of that? And I don't want to give too much of that away, but basically I found kind of a logo that really stood out to me. And so I kind of matched that with our makeup, and that kind of came to, you know, doing the X's across my eyes. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a completely different look. It's a completely original story, than anything that's been seen before. And so we're really excited to share that and build off of that as well as we tell that story and as it, you know, unfolds down the line.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, like I said, as I've seen, you know, just the shoots that you guys have put out on social media, it did bring up a lot of questions, obviously, like why the X is over the eyes. I mean, you know, things like that. So I'm intrigued to see how this story goes and to hear that it is, I guess you could coin it as like a Joker year one, it sounds like, to see how you guys take that, and knowing the DC universe, that we don't have to worry about continuity issues. I mean, push come to shove, it's on a different Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
There's unlimited Earths, so you don't need to worry about it, you know, crisscrossing or anything like that. So, I mean, again, from what I've seen, you guys have definitely put the hook out there. And for anyone watching this, I would definitely head over to ArkhamAdolescence.com because, yeah. Make sure to follow my social, because as soon as you see what I have seen, I have no doubt you guys are going to be hooked. So I mean, that being said, October 31st, Halloween, what a perfect day to launch the Kickstarter for this.
Was
that planned, or was it just kind of a quinky dink, if you will?
Yeah, well, funny story with all that. So last year, right around this time, I had had this idea in my mind for a number of years, and there was an album that came out, and I'm not going to give it away, but there was a song on that album that struck a chord with me that was like, okay, this is the theme song for this character and for this story, right? At the time, I hadn't met Milan yet. I hadn't met people to put this to, you know, production together to make this a high quality production, that would do it for free as well. Yeah. That, you know, I didn't have to shell out 10 grand or something of my own money. I wanted to bootstrap this thing from the get go. And so that's kind of where everything started. And then last year with my family, I dressed up to be the Heath Ledger Joker, and my two boys were Batman and Robin. My wife was Catwoman. So that was like super fun. But then I got the idea, like, grow your hair out. Next year it's going to happen. And a couple months ago, I met Milan, and it was just like the perfect storm. He had just graduated from the U in film and was looking for another project. And I pitched the project to him. Little did I know that he would actually like the project. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, that's kind of how everything came to fruition. And then, you know, Halloween, I was like, we got to drop it on Halloween. It's perfect timing. But I guess, Milan, talk to us a little bit about, like, just that process of me coming to you with the idea, because I think people would be interested, because for sure, you have done some great work before, and you're just very well versed in film. So I'm curious to hear your side as well, of a little bit more in depth of what you thought when I brought it to you.
Yeah, for sure. What I really liked was that somebody was coming to me with an idea, and it wasn't like I had to go. So that was like the first connection, was that like, oh, like somebody else that's like self-taught, self-trained in all these different areas. And then on top of that, like, he's like really passionate about it. And then I think when we collectively found, like, between just kind of our first conversations, there was like a hook of like, oh, let's do this from like the childhood stuff, and maybe they can intertwine. And the more that it was like organically came up, that's how you know it's a good idea, when it keeps you up at night, whether on the technical side or the writing side. And so it was a very organic situation of right place, right time, and both of us just having just enough time, energy, a little bit of money and to kind of bootstrap it. And then on top of that, to have so much of support from friends and family. and real or legitimate support too, not just, oh, you're my brother, or oh, you're my son or something. It's no, people really like it objectively. They're like, what is this?
Yeah.
Maybe a part of it. And so we're looking at it like, if all of that momentum is there, and we've been working really hard, but we also know that this is nothing compared to, say, doing a five-day shoot at 12 hours a day with real, maybe even real union workers. Yeah. So if we can get this pulled off like this, that sort of energy has really bonded us creatively. And we're very natural with each other too, as far as like not afraid to say we like or don't like something. And that, or a collaborative process, is a really big deal. So.
Awesome. So, kind of going off of that process, if you will, because of the current state of the world, has that hindered you guys as far as filming goes, or has it been kind of a motivation of, you know what, let's run with it, let's roll with the punches and go from there?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely been roll with the punches, because this was supposed to be done in quote more professionally and follow some more in quote state guidelines. At the same time, it's like, you know what, we just have to stay true to ourselves, and we have a lot of friends and family again that are supporting us. And so anytime we do anything, it's easy to say, hey, like maybe we'll get too distracted, or like we're, you know, Corona stuff slowing us down and people's energy might be low one day and high the next day. And from a production side and an emotional side, it's been really imperative that we're staying positive and we're doing the best we can. And even if we don't hit our goal, that's okay, because it was better than doing nothing. And I think that's the biggest deal, is to say, yeah, maybe we could say no and just give up on it and just wait until after the first of the year and see what shakes out. Or we just go out there and shoot with 10 people in the street in the middle of 9 a.m. in the morning without asking permission.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, given what's going on, it's kind of building off of the energy and the atmosphere right now of uneasiness. I mean, my dog's losing his mind right now, so it kind of works. but I mean, does that kind of help fuel the energy of your Joker with this state of unrest? Yeah.
No, I
absolutely.
I think so. I think, you know, the mass hysteria that's been going on in the world due to COVID and economic issues and political issues, I mean, it kind of feeds right into our theme and what we're trying to do and trying to show, and kind of the root of the Joker as well, is where he causes chaos, right? And where does that chaos come from? And you know, what's the switch that puts on? What's the purpose of it, right? Because we see the Joker a lot of times in these films blowing stuff up or killing people or acting crazy, but it's like, okay, where does that motivation come from, or where does that part of his psyche come from? We don't know, right? And so that's the question we want to help answer with Arkham Adolescence. So
okay,
a big thing, just to tie in exactly what Spencer's speaking of a little more in depth, before we really got heavy on it, part of one of the homework assignments I gave him was to fill out what I call a PSP, and that's a psychology, sociology, and physiology. And it's this 2 or 3 page document where you're building your character from the ground up, and it's meant to be used as a baseline function to work from, and it might change and evolve. But if you don't understand why a character has a limp in his step, was that from birth? Was that from an accident? And so just little tiny things like that are where we're coming from on the writing side to make sure that Spencer can really embody what he needs to.
Okay. I mean, if you're going to dive into this character who's got all sorts of stuff going on in his head, or maybe not, it's the Joker, who knows?
Right.
I think that's a fantastic approach. I mean, really get into the mindset of this character you're wanting to create. So,
right.
I find that very insightful that you have him do that as part of that preparation. So,
yeah. And I'm really glad he did. I mean, I think that completely helped me mold the character from something I had in my mind to something on paper. Mm. And once you have something that's written out like that, it completely changes everything, right? You take something from an idea to paper, and then from, you know, paper edited to a script, and you're just able to incorporate all those different things. So it's been fun because I didn't go to film school. I didn't, you know, I haven't taken really any acting classes or anything like that. I'm kind of going off the cusp here, but, you know, with Milan kind of directing me and helping me, not just on the acting side, but also on the full production and also the business side of film. You know, a lot of people will make something really cool or something they're passionate about to put on YouTube, but then they don't know how to monetize it. They don't know how to grow that project or make it, you know, make it something bigger. And that's really what we want to do, is make this into something that's huge. You know, I'm not chasing fame. Milan's not chasing fame. We're not here to just blow up in that regard. But what we want to do is take a passion project and be able to turn it into a business model and to be able to monetize it so we can share it at the level that we know we're capable of actually, you know, performing at. So that's really what we're excited about, is, you know, even 15 grand seems like a lot for some people. It doesn't seem like anything for other people, but, you know, with that, we've literally done everything with under a couple $100. And so with 15 grand, it's like we can 10X everything that people are going to see in this trailer. It's literally just the tip of the iceberg. So, yeah.
And I mean that, the 15 grand, that's the goal. I mean, if you get beyond that, it just gets better and better.
It's going to be stupid if it's over 15 grand.
That's at the same time, you guys won't complain either.
No, we won't.
We'll make it work.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, guys. I want to thank you guys for coming on to talk about your project. Thank you so much. I'm excited. This has been something I've been looking forward to ever since Spencer had brought it to my attention.
Nice.
And so I'm definitely excited for you guys. For everyone watching, make sure to head over to ArkhamAdolescence.com. Make sure to follow them on Facebook and Instagram, also at Arkham Adolescence. And then once you've lost your mind over how awesome this is, head over to Kickstarter, go back that project, and just know that as you do that, you get to be a part of the production value and really make this a reality. So again, Spencer and Milan, thanks so much for coming on. I definitely appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Josh, for having us.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. And we will catch you guys next time.
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks, Josh. Thank you.